there. What's going on? I'm so glad you're back. Welcome to the In Your Dreams podcast. I'm Michelle, and this is my podcast where my guests and I discuss our dreams. We try to understand why we're having them, and we try to determine the meaning behind them. This is episode 24, and my good buddy Fish returns. Yes, Fish, that's right. After three times coming on this In Your Dreams podcast, that qualifies you as my good old buddy. Hopefully you're okay with that. We discuss dreams involving dinosaurs and school. Very entertaining. I love the content on this episode. I have to make note that there were some technical issues. I sound very low. I might sound like I'm only coming out of one of your headphones. I used a bad cable on my end, which I didn't realize was a bad cable until the night after when I recorded my other podcast. Fish sounds great, except at certain points, his audio kind of cuts out and he sounds like a robot. So yes, I'm aware of the audio issues, but that's okay because the content is great. One of the things that I love about having Fish on this podcast is sometimes I forget he's actually discussing dreams. They're so detailed, outrageous, and epic that it just sounds like he's telling like kind of an awesome tale. And then you realize, oh, wait a minute, there's no way this can be real. These have to be his dreams. If you enjoy his dreams, you can follow him at fishdavidson.com. I will have the link in the show notes so you can follow him there. I also would like to ask you guys, if you are enjoying this podcast, please review, subscribe, and rate on iTunes. It helps me and I would appreciate it greatly. And of course, if you would like to be a guest, I'm always looking for guests. You can head on over to mitchruby.com/inyourdreams, fill out the form, and I'll be in touch. I will also have that link in the show notes for you. If you don't feel like being a guest or you don't want to really express yourself, but maybe you're dreaming of some weird things and symbols are showing up, I would love to do some research for you and do a mini-sode. I think that would be pretty neat. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the episode.
Thanks for having me.
This is so exciting. Okay, so tonight we're going to discuss dinosaurs and school dreams. And
yes.
You submitted, we're trying my new format where you submit a little bit about the dreams you want to discuss. And that way I can research beforehand.
Yes.
Which is great. So I know you really wanted to start with the one that you destroy a group of school children in a dinosaur-themed battle of wits and an athletic prowess.
Yes.
I am super okay. Stoked for this.
I know. This is like probably one of my favorite dreams of all time. And do you remember the show on Nickelodeon, Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Of course. I loved that show.
Yeah. Okay. So this is sort of... in that vein. There was a traveling show that would stop by at random elementary schools, and they would unload all of their stuff, and basically all the kids would have like a day out of school, and they would tape a show.
Okay.
Except instead of in Legend of the Hidden Temple, instead of Legend of the Hidden Temple, it was Jurassic Park on tour.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So it fits in two 18-wheeler trailers, and one trailer had all the stuff for the trivia portion of the game, and then the other trailer had physical challenge stuff.
Okay.
And so I'm standing in a crowd of school children. I am my normal age of, you know, a grown adult, and I'm surrounded by like...
When did you have this dream?
I had this dream actually almost exactly a year ago. It was May 29th of 2016.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So I'm standing in this crowd of young people, and I am a fully fledged card carrying member of adulthood. And The game show starts with a race to the podium of the podium of knowledge. And the first few people that make it to the knowledge podium get to be the game show contestants.
Okay.
So because I am an adult racing against like first graders, I can run way faster than them.
Right.
I don't care though, because if they really wanted to win, they would have
try harder.
Actually trained. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the game show starts. They start asking trivia questions. I don't remember what questions they asked, but I know the answer to one of them was the dinosaur Dromaeosaurus mimus.
Ooh. Okay.
Yes. It's a good thing I didn't have to spell that. I just had to say it.
Wow. Okay.
But, I had all of my years of dinosaur trivia packed away in my brain. And again, if the kids wanted to win, they should have tried harder.
That's right. No excuse.
No excuses. Okay. And then we have the physical challenges. They've whittled down the contestants to just me and two other people.
Okay.
And we have to play this game called the Egg Hunt. And the Egg Hunt, it's set up like an ant farm where there's like a maze of tunnels and one side is transparent so everybody else can see what's happening. And the object is to crawl through these tunnels that are supposed to be like a dinosaur nest or burrow or something and steal eggs to take to a hatchery.
Okay.
I don't do as well in this part because they're child-sized tunnels and I am a full-grown adult. But right. I still make it to the final round. And in the final round, you have to take these eggs, and in the dream, they were eggs that belonged to like an angry T-Rex mom.
Okay.
And she was not very happy about having all of her eggs pilfered. So we have to basically do the climactic chase from the first Jurassic Park movie where you're getting chased by T-Rex.
Uh-huh.
But it's in go-karts, and then there's like evil scientists that are portrayed by the Jurassic Park the ride staff, and they're trying to knock you off the road and make you lose the eggs.
Right.
But I feel like zero remorse about this because I was just like bobbing and weaving, and I have a driver's license, and so I was able to overcome these the remaining finalists.
Right.
And I won the day, and I celebrated in victory, and it was so dumb, and like it's like a hilarious amount of just overcompensating on my part. It's just like I had zero disregard or zero regard for these kids, just like shoving them out of the way just so I could win.
Yeah, you didn't care.
I didn't care, but it was amazing.
Wow. So was that, do you remember if that was the only dream of the night?
I think that it was the only dream of note. I don't have any dream fragments that I have listed for that day.
Wow. I have to say, I'm surprised by the amount of dreams you submitted having to deal with dinosaurs.
Yep.
I did look up dinosaurs, but I want you to tell a little bit more about the ones that you submitted, and then we can talk about everything I found. Does that sound good?
Sure. Yeah, okay. That's fine.
So do you want to go down the list, or do you want to pick one or two that you really would like to discuss? Because I know you have two short ones.
Yeah. I think we should probably just do just a couple of them.
Okay.
Because I have a lot of dreams that maybe tangentially involve dinosaurs, but they're not. It's just like, oh, hey, a dinosaur popped up in this one.
Right, right, right. Yeah, and I definitely want to get to the school dreams as well.
Okay.
So I don't know. Do you want to go with the you were bitten by the venomous snake? Go with that one. I want to hear about that one. Yeah.
Okay. So in this case, that's one of the dreams that it's kind of only tangentially related to dinosaurs.
Right.
But basically, I think I had decided that I was going to go on an adventure and go hunt fossils, which is weird because I'd barely like going outside, even on a good day.
Yeah.
And I was with a couple of other people. They were just kind of placeholder people. They're, you know, just generic party members.
Right.
And we're going through a floodplain that was a tributary of the Mississippi River. I don't know how I remembered that, but it was a floodplain that was, for the most part, it was dry the entire year, except for maybe a couple of months in the early spring when the snow would melt and everything would become waterlogged.
Okay.
And so I was looking for fossils in this patch of mud in that floodplain, and we didn't find a bunch of like good fossils. We found fossils that looked like fossilized bowling balls.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
okay. So yeah, like objects, not really animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not really animal fossils, but I was like, these are dinosaur fossils. And then I think I was just wandering around waiting in the mud, and I felt like this sharp pain in my foot. And I became kind of aware that I was dreaming.
Okay.
At this time, and I was like, man, I sure hope that wasn't a poisonous snake. And then I just looked down at my hands, and like, now I'm holding this venomous snake that has apparently bitten me. And instead of having, some degree of self-preservation.
Yeah.
And because I realized this was a dream, I was like, you know what? This would be a pretty good post on the internet. So I started basically doing like a Snapchat thing.
How millennial of you.
I know. Just, I don't even have Snapchat. I'm just like, why would I dream about Snapchat? I don't even.
Your subconscious wants you to remain young.
I know. Young and vibrant and.
That's right.
And superficial.
That's right.
But, and then so I was like tagging myself in all these posts. I was like, look at this snake that bit me. And then somehow I managed to like go into the entire internet through my phone, and I started posting about my stupid adventures from inside the internet.
The internet. Like, yeah, what do you mean by that?
Okay. So like, you know how in the movie Hackers, or I guess really any technology movie about that involves going into the computer, everything is, it's like weird electrical impulses and glowing wires, and it's like this nebulous black void space.
Yeah, wasn't there that episode of The Simpsons where Homer? Oh, did you ever see that episode?
I'm sure that there's okay. They've probably done something like that.
Yeah. Okay, continue. I don't know why I just thought of that.
Yeah, it's basically like, you know, Tron, like the world of Tron.
Okay.
And so like, I know at that point I'm in the internet. And I just start posting, and I think I just keep on posting until I woke up.
Wow. So it kind of became a positive thing. So what happened to the snake bite? It didn't really matter.
It didn't matter in the end, just because I think I realized that I was dreaming.
Right. Did you, when you woke up, was one of your limbs numb?
No, but I think what had happened, and I can't remember this for sure, because I didn't write it down, but it, in the dream journal, but I think what happened was one of my cats jumped on the bed and actually hooked my foot with a claw.
That makes total sense. That's something they would do, and then your brain automatically filled it in with a snake, because I was curious about that part, so I did like a little research on being bitten by a snake, even though I mean, I did mostly with dinosaurs and school, but with snake, it indicates that, well, what I found, and again, okay, none of this was in, these were not in my books, these lovely books that I have purchased, but they indicate that you're not afraid of danger, so, and you live a happy life, according to one site that I found. So perhaps you were okay, and that's why you wanted to post about your happy life on the internet.
That seems pretty plausible, because I really didn't give
you weren't afraid. I want to talk about the taking refuge from a bar fight by visiting a gas station with a tiny fossil exhibit.
Yes. Okay. So that in this one,
so much going on in that sentence.
Yes. Okay. So in this particular dream, I think I was walking around and I'd stopped in at some restaurant, and inside the restaurant, there was just like this crazy bar fight going on. Like people were just like smashing chair legs and stuff over everybody else. And there was this one guy, and he took a swing with like a chair leg or something and really slammed this dude in the face. And instead of, you know, making a horrible like splat sound or, you know, hearing bone crunch, like there was just like this weird like plink sound.
Okay.
And like and a metallic divot showed up in his head. And so it was like Robert Patrick's character in Terminator 2, you know, like the liquid metal cop.
Yep.
Okay, so he had kind of like this liquid metal about him, and the guy that was beating him was like, "Wait, are you a robot?" And the guy the metal dude was like, "Yeah, but I can still feel pain." And the guy that was just wailing on the robot was like, "But it's not the same." And then there was all sorts of just weird emotional honesty and in this hyper masculine environment. And I was like, I don't really want to take part in this. Things are going to get kind of awkward real fast.
Oh man.
So I left and I walked to a gas station that was nearby, and it was a really small service station. It was probably like two fuel pumps, and maybe the whole store was about the size of like the average size like bedroom in a house.
Okay.
And half of the gas station was just an exhibit of just various small fossils. And I thought, oh, that was really, really cool. And so I just kind of spent a while just wandering through this exhibit that took up about as much space as like a king size mattress. Yeah. So, I mean, it was not a lengthy exhibit. Like you could read all of the plaques and stuff in probably 10 minutes.
Right. It's a nice added bonus to that gas station.
Yeah. And I think that may have been inspired by a gas station that I stopped at, T-Rick's. And its mascot was like a T-Rex skeleton that was like taking a bite out of the name.
Mm. Well, all right. I'm going to save my, cause I think I have a good, figure out that dream. When did you have that dream? Do you remember when you had it and if you were going through anything?
I can look that up real quick.
Okay.
Let's see. What does the Google machine say?
Well, the only reason I say that is because if you dream of, like, dinosaurs symbolize the past.
Okay.
According to a bunch of different dream dictionaries that I found online.
Mm-hmm.
And it represents that that you don't fear your past. Like dinosaurs, they represent the past, and they can represent good karma, bad karma, and just things you've done in your past. So I thought it was interesting that there was just, like you said, masculine emotions going on.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was yourself trying to deal with some stuff from the past, but you were like, peace out, I don't want to even bother with that. And the fossils are symbolizing that you need to deal with stuff from the past. That's my interpretation of that one.
Yeah. Apparently I had this dream October 27th of last year.
Okay.
And I don't recall any crazy.
Like significance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could back that up. Yeah.
I did have, though, apparently I remembered the name of the gas station, which was Remerger's Self-Service and Dinosaur Museum.
Wow, Remerger's.
It was run by an Indian or a Pakistani guy named Remerger Singh.
Wow. Now, where do you think you got that name from?
I have no idea. So, sometimes it just...
They just come. Yeah,
They just happen.
The last dinosaur dream that I do want to discuss with you, because it made me laugh. Okay. Reviewing security footage of a super intelligent dinosaur rampage.
Okay. So this was, I guess this was not as like a terribly funny one, but it's going to have like a part that is kind of humorous.
Okay.
And it was basically, I think I started off as, in this dream, I was a production intern for a film studio. And I think we were trying to do some research for a documentary about Jurassic Park. And in this world, like Jurassic Park, I think actually happened. Mm-hmm. And it was based on a true story. And somehow there was an event that basically forced the park to close. And somehow our production studio had come into possession of like a bunch of security tapes about detailing like the last little bit of the time where the park was still functional. And when we were going through this, for whatever reason, there was like full color footage on like one or three quarter in, or three and a quarter floppy disks. So just, you know, disregard that logical incongruency.
Okay.
Where, the security footage was just on a series of floppy disks, and we were going through it, and we were able to piece together that apparently not only had the scientists created dinosaurs, they weren't satisfied with that, just creating dinosaurs. So they created like super intelligent dinosaurs. And if Jurassic Park wasn't an idea, wasn't enough of a damning indictment of creating dinosaurs as a terrible idea,
right?
Super intelligent dinosaurs are even worse.
Yeah.
And not only, they didn't start with like a tiny dinosaur. They started with a Spinosaurus, which is the largest carnivorous dinosaur that I'm aware of.
What was it? Because you just, it's weird. The audio just made you sound like a robot.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So just repeat that last part.
It was a Spinosaurus.
Spinosaurus. Okay.
Spinosaurus. And so with the Spinosaurus was in captivity, and they were, the scientists were doing all sorts of tests and stuff, and they got it to start talking and use like human words.
Really?
And yeah, so this was a great, great moment for science, but it kind of caused like a crisis of faith in the dinosaur, because there's like no real higher power for the dinosaur to believe in. And so it turned into like this militant atheist.
What?
And then it went on this rampage and started like trying to destroy all of the scientists and stuff. And so it would like bash itself like through buildings like Godzilla. And here's like the kind of funny part, but it's terrible at the same time.
Yeah.
But so it busted through like a wall and then ate two or three people like in one gulp, and then just went, Christians.
That is really funny.
Yeah, it's funny and terrible at the same time.
So this is footage that you were watching.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And I think there was only like one person that managed to survive, and they were like a former gymnast that, And they survived by like crawling through the air ducts and stuff. And that's how I think we found out that there was security footage. But
When you found this in your dream, were you terrified? Or were you, it was like you were so intrigued you could not look away?
So it was vaguely not vaguely uncomfortable. It was worrying at first, and then I got to the point where the dinosaur just went, Christians, and I lost it, and I was like, okay, this isn't nearly as serious as it probably should be.
Right.
It's just kind of like a black humor kind of thing where
Yeah. So is Jurassic Park one of your favorite movies?
Not really. It's weird, like,
because a lot of these are, you know.
Yeah, it just kind of shows up. It just comes and goes in spurts, I guess.
Have you kept a record? I mean, I know you have, but how frequent or how spaced apart these dinosaur dreams are?
Not really. No. But I'm searching for the tag of dinosaur, and let's see. Okay, so I had two dreams that involved dinosaurs about a month apart, and then there was about a 6-month gap before dinosaurs showed up again.
Did you see the new Jurassic Park movie?
Jurassic World? Not like I have it on DVD, but I haven't watched it yet because I'm a terrible, terrible fan.
I didn't really like it, to be honest. But whatever. It was enjoyable, I guess, for what it was. But that's funny that you haven't even watched it, because I was just curious, maybe you watched this and then these dreams, you know, were hanging out in your subconscious and then they came out. But I guess not. Clearly not.
Yeah.
not driven from Jurassic World. Should we go to school dreams?
Yeah, let's go to school dreams.
You want
to
jump ship? Okay. So which one would you like to start with? Because I know we were going to talk about some of my school dreams, and I tend to really just dream about high school. I never dream about my college days. And
okay.
I still dream about missing the bus.
Okay.
So... And I found information on what that could mean. But I'm just curious if when you're referring, because the list you sent me, are you referring to college or grade school or middle school?
There's a kind of a whole smattering there. I think mostly it's college and high school,
yeah.
But there's also some that take place in like elementary school or middle school.
Okay, so which one would you like to start with? I'll let you guide this one.
Oh, man. Let's see. So I guess we'll start off with like a silly short one.
Okay. The Danny Trejo one?
Oh, no. that is a really short one. But yeah. We can start with that one.
Okay.
In that dream, I was in my high school after like way not necessarily late at night, but it was several hours after school let out.
Yeah.
So it was maybe 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And I was in there for some weird purpose that I think I felt kind of like I was not supposed to be there. I was just kind of sneaking around.
Right.
And then I heard some noise. I kept looking around trying to figure out where it was coming from. And then there was a room of people singing. And then I tried to kind of sneak away, but then the door opened up and Danny Trejo walked out. And apparently he was wearing like, you know, this badass tactical like vest and you know, like a SWAT, SWAT team uniform.
Right.
And, apparently, like, he ran an after-school choir for substance abusers.
Oh.
And yeah.
Nice of him.
I know. And I had interrupted choir practice, and I was like, I should probably leave. And then I left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of his movies before this?
I don't think so. I don't really remember if there was anything that kind of...
That's so random.
Man, yeah,
that is so random. That's a yeah. Did you wake up? Or were you just like, "Wow, Danny Trejo in my dream"?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That was kind of like more of like a dream fragment, and so I didn't document like whether or not like I woke up
Yeah.
Immediately after, it was just there were several kind of disjointed dreams.
Right. I like that you called it a dream fragment. For some reason, that just took to me. So I'm gonna have to use that just because I feel like I've been having a lot of dream fragments. Like last night, I had a bunch. But okay. So all right, okay. Which street school dream would you like to do next?
Okay. So the other kind of funny one that I was thinking about was starting with. Which was also a short one, is I went to this like private high school that in the dream that I was thinking about enrolling in, and I wanted to go on a tour. So I was looking around to see, you know, if there was anybody who could give me a tour, and I couldn't find anybody. And there was this voice that said, "Hey, are you here to like go on a tour?" I was like, sure, I guess. And the school itself was just trying to talk to me and convinced me to go to this really, really expensive private school. And I was like, I don't really want to put down all that much money. And the school, just without missing a beat, was like, but you could take out student loans. And that was not a very convincing argument, and yeah. I just noped right out of there.
You noped that, yeah. When did you have that one?
Oh man, let's see. I think that was probably in 2014, but let's see.
Because dreaming of high school, because I was curious about this, mm-hmm. because I dream mostly in high school. It can refer to the friendships you made while you were there. Again, thinking and dwelling about the past. Mm-hmm. And it could also symbolize that if you have to go back and like repeat high school, or you're having dreams that you're back in high school, it can symbolize that in your waking life, you're doubting yourself.
Hmm.
And you have to work on what's going on while you're awake.
Yeah. So I just found the dream, and apparently it was from way back when, shortly after I started doing my dream journal. This was February of 2013.
Wow. So
years ago.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Interesting stuff. Can we discuss your feeling nostalgic at your sister's graduation?
Sure. Yeah.
And then you wanted to participate in the school's unusual post-graduation ritual.
Yes. Okay. So to give you, I guess, a little bit of background about the school in question, this is not a real school, but in the context of the dream, I had graduated from a film school like a decade ago. And my youngest sister apparently had also gone to this film school and was graduating this year. And the school shows a video with snippets of all of the students' projects from the graduating class in front of an auditorium. And everybody's like, "Oh yeah, that's my baby making this film." And you know, it's just kind of standard graduation fare.
Yeah.
But after all of the graduating class starts recessing out, they keep on walking out of the auditorium, and they go into kind of like this. It's not necessarily an atrium, but there's like a covered breezeway, but it's not like fully covered. It's just like kind of open rafters. It's sort of like a trellis, okay. In a way.
Okay.
But the rafters they're easily grabbed, and they're kind of low. So you can kind of grab them like monkey bars.
Like swing and from so, them?
Yeah, you can swing from them.
Okay.
And okay. So it just became this weird tradition that it was in effect before I got there, and it was in effect after my sister graduated. But everyone would process out, and they'd grab hold of the little bars, and they would just try to swing as long as they could, and go and like monkey bars and try to go as far away as they could. And Yeah, it was a really cool ritual, I thought. And then I watched my sister get, you know, a fair amount, get a fair distance away. And I was like, oh man, that brings back all of the memories. I'm going to try it. And I have like zero upper body strength now. So I got maybe two or three rungs in and I was like, okay, I can't do this.
Whoa. So, I mean, to me, so first off, when I looked up graduation, it represents your achievements and that you're successfully transitioning to higher levels of learning or important things in your life. So I feel like that's what the ritual stood for, that you were watching people pass by and going into the future. And maybe you, because you couldn't really partake, something is holding you back and you weren't ready yet to move on.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. I think in this dream especially, there was a whole lot of kind of like an overabundance of nostalgia.
Agreed. Yeah. Wow. That like to me, I don't know. I mean, again, I'm no expert, but that just, I could see it. I was like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. Obviously, I don't know what's going on in your life when you had this, but to me, that's what I took it as.
Yeah, it's I think that was just kind of graduation season is kind of what brought that on.
That's probably what, you know, kind of was the catalyst for it. Did you always want to go to film school?
Not really. I think in college, I did briefly change my major to film. Uh-huh. And I actually probably would have continued on in that path. But, you know, I have to graduate at some point.
Yeah.
And at this point, I had swapped majors so many times that it was just kind of like, I'll never graduate unless I just
pick something,
focus on. Yeah. And I was already most of the way done in two other disciplines. So I rode that out.
Oh, okay. Did you have interest in film? Like, did you always want to make films?
Not really at first, but then I had a really, really good film teacher who has completely ruined me for like watching films. I can't just watch trashy popcorn flicks now.
Yeah.
Because every time I see even terrible movies, I'm like, I really like the shot blocking in this one. The light box on that shot is impeccable.
Yeah.
The dialogue choice and the background. The prop master must have had a field day there.
Welcome to my life. I went to school for communication and film and television. Uh-huh. And so everything I watch, I critique. I'm still a huge fan, but it just never escapes you. I can judge scenes. I judge acting. You can't help it. You cannot help it. The camera angles. Sometimes I will be watching something and I can literally just picture the words on the script. And like, you know, yeah, it doesn't escape you. Once you learn about it, it doesn't leave you.
Yeah. I kind of wish sometimes that it did.
I know. I know.
But my life has been enriched quite a bit because of it. Because, yeah. I mean, yeah. Even going to Walmart and buying some cheap $2 movie, I mean, I can still get a fair amount of enjoyment just critiquing the film.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. It's pretty good. All right. So which dream would you want to discuss next?
Well, how about we go with some of your dreams?
Well, I mean, like I said, the only one that's really, the two that were the school dreams, the common overall theme is that I'm either in high school, or like I said, I'm missing the bus. And I used to have the missing the bus dreams all throughout grade school and high school, and I still have them. I would say I have a couple a year, and I am well out of grade school.
Right.
Well out of high school. So I looked up missing the bus, and it could symbolize that you're missing opportunities, you're unprepared for events, you're procrastinating on something you should be working on, or you're getting a slower start with things in your life, which kind of goes hand in hand with procrastinating. Which I feel like I've had the missing the bus dreams when I'm more stressed.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. And so, but it's always kind of the same. It takes place in the same spot. It's in front of my childhood home, in front of my old bus stop, and it's always a yellow school bus. And I'm always, like, either looking out the window and I see it going by. And I remember being in school and I hated missing the bus because, one, like, it just gets your heart racing. And two, then you have to, you have to ask your parents for a ride. And my mom was gone by then. And then my dad would get pissed because then he's late for work.
Yeah.
So I think that just never, that feeling probably just never left me. And so that's how I get out my nervousness, I guess, when I'm sleeping. Did you ever have a dream where you missed the bus?
To my knowledge, I don't think I did. But as an excuse, I guess, to kind of hedge that bet, I would like to explain that my father was very, very punctual.
Okay.
And I don't think I don't think he let us miss the bus at all. And so, like, he'd be out there waiting with us.
Yeah.
And we got on the bus hell or high water, and in the weird times where for whatever reason he wasn't out there or we were still dawdling in the house, if he heard that bus round the corner, you know, he'd start screaming, "Guys, the bus is here! The bus is here!"
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'd get our butts outside.
Right. And I've had dreams where I get on the bus, but I forgot a shoe or I forgot something I was supposed to bring to school, which is equally as stressful. I might as well just have missed the bus at that point.
Yeah.
So, can we discuss the talking school building?
Oh, that was the short one.
Oh, that was earlier. The expensive private school. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. No problem. Let me see what else. This is the other one I wanted to really discuss. The fashion and textiles course. And then you discussed the purpose of women's fashion.
Yes. Okay. So this was another dream that I'm honestly kind of impressed with my subconscious, because this was relatively early in my dream journaling career. And I was just very surprised that my subconscious was able to formulate a well-reasoned argument while I was asleep. And so the premise was, I was in a college class about textiles and fashion design.
Okay.
And we had this homework assignment where we had to bring in a bunch of images that illustrated how women's fashion evolved over the past, like, 50 or 100 years. And the goal was that we were going to combine all of the images, like, from, say, 1900 to 2000 into, like, this big timeline that just kind of it would give us, like, a visual timeline of how fashion evolved. And most of the people chose stuff from, like, the 60s and the 70s, but there were other people that had, like, flapper dresses from the 20s. And for whatever reason, I chose a bunch of, like, post-war fashion from, like, late 1950s.
Hmm.
And apparently I also chose some fashion clippings from a 1989 JCPenney catalog.
Oh, okay. Nice mixture. All right.
Yeah. But there's always going to be somebody in class who just tries to kind of do something stupid with an assignment like that. And right. So they brought a whole bunch of World War II pinup art.
Okay.
By, like, you know, the standard kind of Gil Evren pinup stuff. And so I told this guy, it's like, I don't think they should count. I don't think that submission should count, because it represents, like, a very male-centric and skewed depiction of the female form. It's, like, just a highly sexualized form of imagery, like, for male consumption. And then an actual debate started. And somebody was debating that shoulder pads and pantsuits are basically like the antithesis of that, in that females were using that sort of fashion to appear less sexualized and more powerful. And then somebody countered that point by saying that shoulder pads were a subversive fashion statement, that men tended to sexualize broad shoulders and powerful features that found them like inherently more masculine, so that by using shoulder pads, men were effectively sexualizing themselves. Yeah, I sometimes I have really pretentious dreams. Yeah, where
I'd say so. Where,
yeah.
Was that it? Was that it?
Yeah, and then that just kind of shut that guy down. He's like, okay, that's it.
Wow, that's crazy. That's insane. Did you ever take a woman's clothing class or go over the history of women's clothing before?
Not that I'm aware of.
Just in your dream.
Yeah. Just in my dream. Although I do know several people that they do like make their own clothing, and they have taken like a fashion merchandising course at the local university. But it's not something that's generally terribly present in my day to day life.
No, huh? Okay. Good to know. Before we wrap up of the school dreams, was there anyone from the list that you wanted to discuss?
No, I think that's... Oh, yeah, actually, there is one more.
Okay.
And that's kind of the last exam of the semester.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So... Actually, I guess I could keep going with this, but no, the last exam of the semester dream was I spent a lot of time at my parents' house for whatever reason, getting dressed, and it was kind of going to be late for school, and I had an exam that I think it was a psychology exam that
this
I didn't feel
dream?
Like that.
This is your dream.
Yes, this is in my dream.
Okay.
I had a psychology exam that I really didn't want to take. And for whatever reason, I put on like a blue flannel shirt or something, and I had a sleeping bag that I pinned to my pants. And so depending on my mood at any given time, it was either like coiled around me, like a weird skirt, or it was flapping behind me like a beaver tail. And so I went to school, and I didn't feel like taking the test. So I started causing a disruption, and I would just like shook my hips and gyrated my sleeping bag beaver tail. And I was just flapping all over the place and hitting other students and knocking all the test papers around. And, the teacher was, I was a jerk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was guilty of a high degree of douchebaggery that day.
I'm sure the dream extras that appeared in that dream were very happy.
Yeah, so I got called to the professor's office, and he was like, why are you doing this? You don't even have to take the exam. Your GPA was high enough that you could just get a zero and then not even worry about it. And I was like, okay, that's great. And so I walked out. And that was the end of that.
That's so weird. I did look up exams because I was curious about that. And it signifies your insecurities and your fear of failure if you don't want to take an exam. So you're avoiding something, which, again, can make sense in your dream, or we can relate it to real life. But again, I don't know what was going on in your real life. But then it kind of like, I feel like in your dream, you were avoiding doing something, or maybe in your subconscious, you were avoiding to do something. But then at the end of the day, it's not really that even significant, and it's okay if you don't do it or not. You're still going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it's kind of weird for me to try to read a lot of symbols into my dreams, because a lot of a lot of times I'm at least vaguely aware that I'm dreaming.
Right.
And so any like visceral emotional reaction a lot of times is kind of dampened by just that awareness that I am in a dream. And so what I do here really has no significant consequence.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That makes sense too. I haven't had any, as of late anyway, I haven't experienced any of that or lucid dreaming. I know we discussed lucid dreaming before, but it's been like last night I was going to look this up, which I plan to. I think I'm going to, do a mini-sode for tomorrow, but I don't really remember much of last night. It has nothing to do with school dreams or dinosaurs, okay. But there was a lot of dirt.
Okay.
I was outside, and again, I can picture this tall, kind of, I would say like a stone-ish building, and there was just pots of dirt, and I remember putting my hands in the dirt. And then looking next to the building, there were two large, round, black wood tables on top of one another.
Okay.
And that's all I can tell you.
Was the dirt, like, did it seem particularly rich and fertile?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was like, nice dirt. Like, I want to plant my crops in that dirt. And it was like I could feel the texture of the dirt, and again the tables were like larger than life tables, and they were positioned so they like the tabletops were touching, so the feet like one table the feet were on the ground, and then the other table the feet were in the air. Yeah, so I woke up and that's all I could remember. I can't really piece anything else together, but I know those two things. So I was just going to run with that and see what I found. So I plan on doing some research. What do you think of that? Have you had any experience with dreaming about dirt or tables?
Now, I think there was, I don't think I've had a particular dream that prominently featured tables, but I had a dream at some point. This is way back. I'm not even sure if I put it in my dream journal because it may have happened during my dream hiatus. But there was I think I had like a magic bean, like a black market magic bean operation, where I would go out in like this middle of this kind of wasteland kind of place, and then I would use like a backhoe or whatever and dig holes and plant magic beans.
Wow.
And there was just like loads and loads of dirt.
What happened with the magic beans? Were they like beanstalks? Like they would grow into the sky and you could climb them?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm going to see if I can find it here.
Okay, cool.
Let's see.
Curious about that one.
Magic beans.
I do remember my dream. There was the dirt. It was in pots. They were in
okay.
Pots, so contained dirt, which is it's just so strange where this comes from. But curious.
Oh yeah, I can't find anything. So maybe this dream doesn't exist.
Oh no.
Oh no.
So it's not in your dream journal. Darn. When did you start your dream journal again?
I believe it was the end of 2013.
How many entries do you have?
It's kind of skewed a little bit because I have, on Tumblr, I had posted a whole bunch of just random crap as well.
Oh, okay.
So I think I have like 6,000 total posts, but probably about 1,000 of those, maybe a little bit more, are a dream journal.
Still impressive though. Very impressive. I think we're good for tonight. We got some good. I like the two categories, and I'm excited to see. I hope you come back. Will you come back next month?
I can come back next month.
I think you should be a guest once a month.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Okay, very cool. Thanks again, Fish.
You're welcome.
All right, take care.
You too.
Bye.